There was like five of us chasing down this cow. We finally corralled her into this field and we still couldn't get her. It took like another day and we got a big fence and there was another five of us again. And then we all literally tackled this cow and I hog tied her and got her back. So that was part of what I did in the middle of the day. It took a couple hours of time that I had things to do at work. I hope my boss isn't listening.
Welcome to Task Time Energy, the Purpose-Filled Productivity Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Miller, and I'm excited to share this episode with you. This week's guest and I had a fantastic conversation. We really got on a roll. We talked for over an hour. And as you may know, I like to keep the length of these episodes closer to maybe a half hour, 40 minutes. So what we're going to do is the same thing we've done a few times in the past. We're going to make this a two-part episode. We'll share part one with you right now, and then we'll share part two with you in about a week. So without any further ado, let's meet this week's guest and find out exactly why she was chasing a cow. So welcome, everyone. Our guest today is Dr. Sarah Waltz, who is a doctor of veterinary medicine. It's great to have you here today, Sarah. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks. It's great to be here. I'm excited.
And just for our listeners' benefit, I want to share a little bit about your background. So you have your veterinary degree from Virginia Tech, Virginia Maryland Regional College of Veterinary Medicine. You graduated in 2016. You also have a master's degree from North Carolina State University in stress psychology and microbiology, which sounds really interesting. We might want to ask you a few questions about that.
Great. Yeah. And it's actually stress physiology, but very close.
Physiology. Oh, I totally read that wrong. I'm sorry. Apologies.
It's okay.
Stress physiology and microbiology. Yeah. And you've worked as an emergency veterinarian. You were a veterinary ICU nurse. When you and I met was back in the Carolina Tiger Rescue days. You were an intern there and a volunteer at Carolina Tiger Rescue.
Yes.
When you were on your way to vet school. And we've had a couple of Carolina Tiger Rescue alumni here. We had Lenore Brayford on recently, who was an intern and became a keeper there, a staff keeper.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. We've got our own little fan club, huh?
Yeah, really. Yeah. What else would you like to add? What else would you like to share with our listeners about your background, your experience, anything that you think would be interesting for people to know?
Yeah, you know, I've been in several facets of veterinary medicine now, and in the last few years transitioned more into a leadership role, first as a medical director and now as the director of learning and development for a new company called Pet Folk. So it's been kind of a wild ride, and it's been a lot of working with doctors, working with technicians and nurses and coaching and helping through their development progress. The other big thing that we've done recently is created our own mentorship program. So that's another facet that I'm really passionate about. And I think all of that ties in really well to what we're going to talk about today. The other fun fact that I think is really important for this conversation is that I have two toddlers, a 3-year-old and a 4.5-year-old, and we have about 40 plus animals on a small farm in Pittsburgh. And that ties in because it really plays into how that time is allocated and what that looks like trying to get all of those things done in a day.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, you just added a couple of other interesting potential topics to talk about. There's your time in vet school, which I have been told is insanely demanding, and you know, so much that you have to learn and so much work that you have to do. And it would be interesting maybe to talk about that and how you manage that. And then, of course, you know, your own experience. You were talking about your own small farm that you have and 40 animals. And like, that's a big deal because animals need things. And you can't just say, oh, the animals need to be fed, but we'll just bump that to tomorrow and reschedule that, right? No, you got to feed them. You got to give them their medications and all the things that they need. And there's a whole art and science to that. So these are just some of the things I was thinking about. I'm wondering if any of those topics in particular, if you have thoughts that you want to share, advice, stories.
I have so many thoughts. Also, though, feeding animals and feeding toddlers and husbands.
Yes, that too.
That's the real balance, trying to figure that out. Because you can't put those toddlers in a kennel either, or make them wait very long at all, really. I would say the animals actually have a much higher tolerance than the toddlers do.
Yeah.
Backtracking just so.
Things.
Yeah. Toddlers and husbands, man. backing up just a little bit, you know, it's been interesting to watch how the way that I go about my day has changed, and the way that I approach my day has changed from, you know, being in an academic setting and being in this crazy world that is the veterinary curriculum, and then moving into my veterinary career and moving into a family and kids, and how that's changed throughout these several years. When you're in the veterinary academic setting, it is probably, I would have to assume, very similar to a human academic medical setting, in that there is not much time for anything else in your life. So, you know, the way that I managed my time looked so different back then, because I sort of made this internal decision that was going to be my job, and that was what I was going to focus on, and that was what was going to come first. And I do think that time management and the way that we handle situations like that, that are so demanding on us, it plays into how much we can tolerate adversity and how much we can tolerate struggles as well, and how we handle change management. So for example, for, you know, any number of days at a time, I would go to a coffee shop and sit down and tell myself, I'm going to study for 10 hours. That's going to be my day. I'm going to sit at this coffee shop from open until, you know, 8 o'clock at night. And then I'm going to go home. And then whatever I want to do after that is my time. And I can manage that the way I want. And I would set boundaries for myself as far as, okay, well, I'm going to take a break here. I need to have like this mental break here. And that was how I approached 4 years to get through kind of this constant grueling feat of getting through vet school. And I mean, I know a lot of people approach it very differently, but I think it goes back to adversity tolerance and how you can manage adversity, or how you overcome challenge and how you personally handle each of those things. I had a lot of classmates who would have kids, and I have honestly zero idea how they ever pulled that off, because there's no way I can imagine going through that and coming out the other side and having to feed and take care of a toddler. Having animals was hard enough.
Yeah. So
it's changed a lot. And since then, I've been able to, you know, once I got through that period of time, I could look back and say, okay, now I can start living my life. And now I've overcome this obstacle that was going to be such a great challenge for me. And now I get to step back and breathe a little bit. I think for myself, I had set in my mind these goals of things that I wanted to accomplish and where I wanted to go. And so that helped with the fact that I didn't have a lot of time to myself for a solid 5 years. I think people are not super familiar with how grueling the veterinary academic setting is. Once I completed that, I actually did an internship as well. For those who aren't familiar, an internship is much like a human medical internship or anything like that, where you are sort of a scud worker. You work all hours every day, very limited time off. You might work, you know, an 18-hour shift or 24-hour shift, just depending on how the day goes and how busy it is. So I was an intern at a small animal emergency center and specialty center. And I, for a year straight, would sometimes cry on my way to work and sometimes cry on my way home, but spent every day and most often every night there. And so had very few hours and very few events that were truly mine. When I finished that, so that was like that fifth year out of vet school, I kind of considered that my fifth year of vet school. When I finished that, I celebrated the fact that now I could sort of live my life and go on with my life and all of these other things that I wanted to accomplish after that point. So, you know, it was very much a mental game in that regard too, because I kind of set in my mind, I have to get through this. I have to do X, Y, Z. Okay. We're one day closer to this finish line, but I'm going to have to put in this work and this effort for one more night or one more day or six more days or whatever that's going to look like. So it's changed a lot since then and it looks a lot different, but it's a pretty grueling period of time.
I'd love to just play back and reflect on a couple of things that you just shared that I found really interesting because they parallel some things I've heard from other people. You were talking about sitting down in the coffee shop and saying, okay, I'm going to study for the next 10 hours, right? But a couple of things I noticed as you talked about that. So there's a definite structure there, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, okay, and then I'm going to take breaks. And you had a definite structure and a plan. And I find that that's something that, you know, talking to people who work from home and or started doing that recently, or even people who've been doing it for a while, structure becomes so important. Especially like if you're running your own business, like I've been doing, it seems great. You know, when you initially talk about it, you initially think about it, you say, oh, well, I can do whatever I want. I can plan my day any way I want. I can go, you know, take off and go windsurfing this afternoon if I want to. But the problem with that becomes when there's no structure, it's actually A, I think harder to get anything done, and B, easier for work or studying or whatever it is to spill over into your entire life. So I heard you talk about saying, I'm going to study for the next 10 hours, but then when I'm done with these 10 hours of studying, then the time after that is mine and I'm going to do what I want. So I mean, how useful did you personally find that in terms of helping you be productive and helping you accomplish what you needed to accomplish, creating that structure for yourself?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And honestly, that's carried over into how I manage my time now and how I'm able to better manage and manipulate my time now. I don't feel like it's something that everybody can do. I think that goes a little bit back to being able to work remotely too. That's not the best setting for everybody. That's not the best use of everybody's time. And I think you have to know yourself and know what your limitations are a little bit, because sitting 10 hours to do a certain amount of work does not work for across the board for everybody. I think you have to find what that limit is for you. And maybe that limit's 30 minutes. Maybe you can bust out a solid 30 minutes of work and the things that you need to get done. And then you really need to reward yourself sort of with like a 5-minute break or whatever that's going to look like. And it spills into a little bit of what we were talking about before we started recording. In my opinion, time management, I think, is so much the default to kind of thinking about that is how can I be efficient and effective in the amount of work that I'm accomplishing? Whereas I feel like time management is really about how can I prioritize my time to get the things that I need out of it, to make it my time and to own that time. And so if your day is going to be in a business setting, in a classroom, in a hospital, wherever that's going to be, what are the things that you need to do throughout the day? And how do you apply that time prioritization to work for you? Because you can do it there too. That relates a little bit to some of the things that I coach my doctors on. I am a person who's very outgoing and extroverted. And when I'm in a hospital with my team, I want to be with my team. I want to be interacting with my team. That doesn't really communicate so well to finishing up my records and, you know, translating to getting that work done. And so often I might have to sit down, either put a hat on or put something, blinders on, headphones on, so that I can get 2 to 3 minutes of work or whatever that's going to look like. Some people are really good at being able to sit down and say, okay, I can prioritize how much I need to get done in this amount of time and the most important things into a block of time that's going to be 30 minutes, and I'll be able to get all of this done in that time. Other people can only sit for about 2 to 3 minutes, and then you have to do something else to engage your brain and keep you centered. And it's okay to vary that into and to manipulate it into what you need and what you need that to look like. It doesn't have to be a cookie cutter for how everybody goes about their day. So, you know, being able to sit for that 10 hours worked for me back then. It's not something that would work for me now. Now, if I am I'm in a remote position. So if I have a block of things on my day to get done, I will set aside 30 to 45 minutes and I just focus on what I'm doing during that amount of time. And I have my list. I lock myself into a place where I'm not going to find a lot of distractors, sort of put those blinders on. And then at the end of that 45 minutes, I reward myself by something that is really going to refresh me, which is like walking out to my yard and seeing those animals or interacting with a friend on a phone call or, you know, something that's not going to take that same amount of brain power and just kind of bring me back to getting that centered place.
There are so many things that you're saying here that I think are useful for people to hear and useful for people to hear from someone like you who's accomplished so much, you know, like even what you're doing now, you have your career, you have your farm with 40 animals, you have a husband and toddlers that you're taking care of. And people like, I think so many people would look at you and say, oh, I don't know how she gets it all done. But you mentioned prioritizing. And this is something I hear again and again from people who, you know, we would look at and say, oh, they're so productive. You know, they're so good at getting things done. It's not trying to get every single thing done, but it's recognizing what is important and how do I get those important things done. Does that sound accurate when I say that?
It does. And, you know, it's interesting. I feel like and I can't speak to this as a professional, so I'll put that disclaimer out there, but my husband has ADHD, and in figuring out our relationship together and figuring out those pieces that are so frustrating in communicating together, I have found that encouraging him to prioritize the things that he needs to do and however he needs to do that has been extremely helpful. And that's something that I use too. It just looks different for different people. So whereas I might be able to say in my mind, or I might write, you know, a note on my computer, these are the things I want to get done in a day. For him, he truly has to write that out and speak that out to figure out, okay, this is where I need to focus my time and energy. Here's the ways that I'm going to be able to enjoy that time after I accomplish this, that, and the other thing. And we've utilized that concept in just like our personal life too, and how we attack a day. Okay, I need to get out of the house by 8 a.m. So we're going to have to figure out who's going to feed the animals and do the morning feedings, who's going to get kids dressed and focus on shoes, clothes, breakfast, and then who's going to take them to school. And if I have that conversation with him, our day will go so much smoother. For me, like I can have that conversation in my brain and say, okay, bing, bang, boom, this is what I need to do. For him, you know, with his brain working a little bit differently, it really helps him for us to talk about it and spell it out and ensure in that regard that we're on the same page and that we can both use our time in the most effective way.
Yeah, that's so excellent. It's interesting to hear you talk about it that way. It's something that I've discovered through the coaching work that I do when I'm coaching people and helping people with time management. I always tell people, this is an experiment. And there are a lot of great techniques. I can talk to you about bullet journaling. I can talk to you about time blocking. But ultimately, we all work a little differently. And really, there is no magic, you know, silver bullet, one size fits all solution to time management. It really is a matter of experimenting a little bit, trying different techniques, and really figuring out what works best for you personally. And I think it's really wonderful to hear you say that with all that you've accomplished, because I think we get this idea often, you know, we compare ourselves to other people and seeing the way that other people do things or the way we think other people are doing things. And sometimes we compare ourselves to these just kind of arbitrary standards of productivity, you know, that we think we're supposed to accomplish, wherever that comes from. It can come from society, our families, our workplace. And just to hear you talk about how important it is to recognize, and I think this is important for leaders too, right? Anybody in a leadership position, when you're leading other people, to be able to say, hey, we all work a little differently and it's really important to figure out what is going to work best for you. And, you know, even people who are, you know, like introvert versus extrovert, right? Like not necessarily whether you like being around other people or not, but how do you recharge your batteries? Exactly. And some people are going to sit in front of a computer for a few hours by themselves, and they're really going to need to go talk to somebody after that and spend time around other people, because that's draining. Being alone is draining. Whereas other people, if they spend a lot of time around other people, are going to want to go be by themselves for a while. So recognizing things like that, and how do we know ourselves? I mean, you said that a few moments ago, understanding ourselves, knowing ourselves, and then understanding how to leverage that to our advantage to be able to work in a way that's going to be satisfying and allow us to get those priorities done. So it's so wonderful to hear you talk about that and how that's worked for you.
And I feel so passionately about that too. And like, gosh, it's just such a valid point. You really do, especially in a leadership role or a coaching role, you really need to be able to get to know the people that you're working with on a more intimate level to figure out what it is that's going to inspire them to, and to help them be able to effectively manage and prioritize that time in any sort of setting. I mean, if the goal is to produce effective and efficient work, you need to have a team that's really enjoying what they do and engaged in what they do and energized by what they do. And so it's very important to know them on a personal level to figure out, how do I inspire that? How do I rein that in to harness that energy that they have and keep that momentum going throughout the day? And I have, you know, doctors and staff that I work with that are introverted. And sometimes that solution doesn't mean that for them to recharge, they just need to be in a quiet area, or they need to be able to be by themselves. That looks very different. That can mean I need to take you out of the hospital and send you outside on a walk once a day. I need to send you to go get a bottle of soda from down the street, or whatever that's going to look like, so that they actually get that time away from the hospital, because that's how they're going to recharge. Or, you know, if you have somebody who has that abundance of energy, sometimes that looks like, okay, well, I need to make sure that on your break, or like when we have a little bit of time, we're factoring something in that's going to engage you. Is that like a little bit of yoga or a quick exercise routine or a dance break? I think there are really interesting ways to manage time in order to be able to encourage that mental stimulation to be able to stay in the moment and then be able to prioritize the workload that you have.
Yeah. And I think we're so used to thinking of some of these things as disadvantages, like, oh, you know, these other people can sit and study for 10 hours and that just is so hard for me, or I've tried and I can't do that. And so that means that person's better than I am, right? The person who Correct. Can do that is better. We're so used to thinking of it that way, instead of just thinking, hey, we all have like maybe that person can study for 10 hours straight, but there are things that I can do that person could never do or would be very difficult for them. So how do we be a little more at ease with ourselves and just recognize that these differences are there? And so let's learn how to work with them so that at the end of the day, we're getting those important things done. We're getting the job done. Yeah. And it sounds like you have a really keen awareness of that.
And oof, I mean, it's taken me a real long time to get there. So, I was absolutely that person who even in vet school looked at my friends and said, man, why can't I just be the one who just gets it? Like, I just get it. And, you know, I don't have to study. I can go out to the parties. I can hang out and just use this as college all over again.
Yeah.
I it's taken me all these many years to really embrace the fact that, okay, I'm getting to know myself and the things that I need and the things that are going to help me work best. And I think I can step back and say now, okay, well, I've done that, and that's helped me to be successful. And again, you know, not everybody is suited for or wants to, not just suited, but let me back up and say, not everybody wants to be in a leadership role. That's not something that inspires or engages everybody out there. It's something that inspires and engages me. And so I like to use my time to direct it to helping other people and to this coaching and providing feedback and figuring out how to teach others. That's not the thing that inspires and engages everybody else. And I think it's an important piece of getting to know yourself, to getting to the center of what it is that you really enjoy. it might be your job and it might not. And I know that they say so frequently, what is that saying? If you love your job, you're never working a day in your life. Mm-hmm. You should enjoy your job, but maybe you don't. And that's okay too. Because if you enjoy the things that your job is getting you to, then you can, again, it goes back to that managing of time and prioritization of time, that you know this is what you need to do in order to get that reward and to be able to do those things outside of work that you enjoy and love so much. It's certainly not a means to an end, but it's what's getting you from point A to point B and allowing you to reap the benefits of those rewards.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems important too. I mean, it's great and it's wonderful if you get to do something you enjoy and something you're passionate about, and that is your job. I'm very, very grateful for the fact that I've been able to do jobs that I absolutely loved, that were incredibly fun, that were incredibly rewarding. But I've also done some jobs that were like just jobs. I mean, not like I was doing something good, but like ultimately at the end of the day, this is not what gives meaning and purpose to my life. And that was totally fine too, because I really have loved being in situations where I could go to work for X number of hours, do my job, leave and not think about my job at all until I walked back in, you know, the next time I was working, like on, you know, in the evenings or weekends, I didn't think about my job at all. And that was really nice. And it's not necessarily that way for me when I'm doing something that I'm really passionate about or when I'm doing something that's really, really fun for me, because then I tend to be thinking about it a lot more. So there are advantages and disadvantages either way. Yeah. And great ways that people can contribute no matter how they view their job, whether it's something they're passionate about or whether it's just something they do for to earn a paycheck. Yeah.
You know, somebody said something to me recently that really resonated for me in that, you know, they're the kind of person that goes home and they don't shut off work. They continue to work and they do things and they do it on their own time because that's just the person that they are. And that's just what they need in their life for their, that's what their work-life balance looks like. And I think, you know, that for me resonated because we talk so much about boundaries and we talk so much about time management so that we can have these great boundaries and not think about work once we leave, but that doesn't work for everybody. And for myself, when I'm thinking about how I manage my time and how I prioritize it throughout the day for the things that I need to get done, I might get caught up doing something on the farm. I might, there might be, I mean, we have a miniature zebu, which for those that are not aware, it is a very small cow, small but mighty. And she recently, we brought her home and she got loose like as soon as we got her home and she took off running. And we live at the end of a gravel road. We have like very few neighbors. So she ran through each of these neighbors' road or driveways. Then I'm running behind her, like chasing after her full speed. It's like 95 degrees because it's Pittsburgh in the middle of the summer. And each of our neighbors, when they would look outside, they would like see us running by and we would collect a neighbor at each house. We're all chasing down. There's like five of us chasing down this cow. We finally corralled her into this field and we still couldn't get her. It took like another day and we got a big fence and there was another five of us again. And then we all literally tackled this cow and I hogtied her and got her back. So that was part of what I did in the middle of the day. It took a couple hours of time that I had things to do at work. I hope my boss isn't listening. So, you know, my time prioritization looks a little different in that, okay, if I have to do that, that's fine because I'm going to go back and sit down in the evening and be doing that work that I didn't complete or be doing that piece that I didn't complete because that's just for me what mentally engages me and keeps me motivated and how I want to spend my time and what that looks like. And again, like that's that piece of that time managing the time in the way that we need it to work for us and we need it to work as an individual. So if I end my day, put my kids to bed, do dinner, and then sit down and have a glass of wine and now go back to work and go back to completing some other items, I'm fine with that because that does engage me and that does keep me happy. And that is part of how I like to spend my time in my day. I don't think it means that I have bad boundaries necessarily. I don't think it means that I'm bad at managing my time to be effective and efficient. at work, I think it actually sort of means the opposite. That's when I'm able to get the most things done.
It sounds like because of knowing yourself well and knowing how you work and what works for you and you know, what you need personally in order to be as productive as you want to be. And also from developing a structure that works for you, that allows you to be more resilient and more flexible and adapt to change. So that if something does throw your schedule off in the middle of the day, you can kind of get, you can manage that and adapt to it. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that's the hard work that we each have to do for ourselves, right? I think we all just so want that to be something that comes innately and that, you know, we just falls into our lap and we don't have to do that work. But it, you know, I'm 36 years old. I graduated vet school, I think 6 years ago now, and I'm proud of what I've accomplished since then. But it's because I really took the time to step back and get to know myself and the things that I need and the things that work best for me. And again, trying to stop comparing myself to the Smiths or the Joneses and trying to keep up with everybody else and what success looks like for them. The way that we go about our day and the way that we accomplish the goals that we have in life really depends on how well we know ourselves and how well we've taken the time to figure out what we want our own journey to look like. And because I'm confident and comfortable in that now, I think like it allows me to help other people to see that and to help talk about that with other people. And B, it helps me to be able to do all of these different things that I stay involved in. Mm-hmm. Some of us really work well going at 100 miles an hour and having all of these different activities. And for me, that's how my brain works best. And that's how my psyche works best. Going 100 miles an hour, having 50 million things on my plate, always adding something else and never saying no. Doesn't work for everybody. And that's okay. But you need to discover that for yourself and discover what that limitation is to help find that success, that internal success.
And I love how you talk about that as something that you have to put a little effort into, because I think we do. I think when it comes to things like everything we're talking about here, there is a perception for some people have the idea that it's just something we should know. It's just something we should be able to do. And that it's not actually a skill or a set of skills or a set of abilities that we may need to invest some time in and develop. You know, it's like we have all these tasks that we're supposed to complete, all these jobs that we're supposed to do, all these projects that we're supposed to complete. And how we do them, the how part of the way we and the who we are when we're doing them, that's kind of like magically going to happen somehow. Not saying, hey, figuring out who we are and how we work best and figuring out the how of the way that we're best going to approach our day. That is a task in itself. That's something that I need to schedule some time for and invest some time in. We don't always think about it that way. You know, and I think that's part of the problem the struggle that some people have with this.
I agree. And I was really fortunate in that I got rejected from vet school 3 times before I actually got accepted.
Wow.
So, you know, I started vet school a little bit later in life than most typical students would. And I did my master's during that time. And, you know, the rest is history. Here I am. But that gave me a lot different perspective when I did get in. And I worked really, really hard and I was really excited and appreciative to be there. I still failed tests. There were some, I think I got like a whopping 18% on a radiology physiology test at some point. And it didn't bother me the same way because I could approach this with a different mental state at that time. And I think that was like the pivotal point in my life where I was really able to step back and get to know myself and know what my strengths and weaknesses are. I knew that I was good in a clinical setting. I knew that I deserved to be there. And I had proven in a way that I deserve to be there by getting in and by being there. During my clinical year, I had the opportunity to complete a rotation elsewhere. And the director of that program ended up writing our dean and was like, I'm embarrassed that our school didn't accept her. And like, she did an amazing job. And that's really cool. That's really rewarding to get that feedback. I think that fed into my own self-confidence. And again, this whole period of self-reflection and getting to know who I am and what my needs are and how to drive my own success. I think, again, like I was really lucky to get that time. Not everybody gets that time. And I think it is hard to step back and say, I deserve that. And I need to give this to myself. This is a gift that I'm giving to myself to actually spend the time figuring out what drives me and what helps me work best and what helps me accomplish the most.
I love what Sarah shared about understanding herself and the ways of working that are most useful for her, while also understanding that other people are going to have different approaches to the process of being productive in a meaningful and satisfying way. As a coach, I always enjoy helping people who are in that process of understanding this about themselves. And I love helping leaders who want to understand and support the different ways of working that best suit the people on their teams. If you want to know more about the work that I do as a leadership and time management coach, visit my website, scottmillercoaching.com. And please join us for part two of this episode with Dr. Sarah Waltz. I'm looking forward to sharing the rest of our conversation with you, and we will be sharing that episode with you on Thursday, October 6th, 2022.